I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to the verse that Bill quoted a minute ago. I'm going to beg your indulgence tonight because I'm not going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, like we talked about on Sunday. When I got the phone call this morning from Lisa, Larry's and Bev's daughter, about her mom, and as I was driving over early this morning, this verse in Psalm 116, verse 15, just came in my mind, and it's been in my mind all day. That's where the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And here's what I'm going to do tonight. I every once in a while, a preacher needs to preach to himself. He needs to remind himself of some blessed truths. And so I need to do that tonight, so I beg your indulgence. Let me preach to myself tonight and invite you to just listen in a little bit. This is a strange verse. It's a backward verse. You would think it would be just the opposite. You would think it would say that God got more delight out of the death of the wicked, those that ignored him, those that rejected Christ, those that ignored the cross and everything that Jesus did there, that God would get more delight out of the death of the wicked than he would out of the death of the saints. In fact, if we were God, that's how we would write it. We would write the verse just the opposite. We would say, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all those murderers and child abusers and all those that have just turned their back on God and done evil." But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." Because you see, when the wicked die, they go to hell. Jesus told us about a man like that in Luke chapter 16 when he said, "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment." God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked because they go to that place called hell. And don't let the things that are going around today affect the way you think about hell. There is a hell. And all those that reject Christ end up going there for an eternity. And I'll remind you tonight that God's not willing that any go to hell, but that all come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And that's why he made salvation so simple. That's why he made salvation so free. Everybody's a sinner. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But Jesus paid the price of our sin. And he offers to every single person that gift of life, that gift of salvation, eternity in heaven. And all we have to do is ask him. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that's why God put the word "whosoever" in the Bible. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God wanted everybody to know that this thing called salvation, this gift of life that Jesus purchased on Calvary, he intended for everybody. We had a couple visit our church on Sunday, and they're looking for a church because their church is leaning toward Calvinism. And one of the things that the Calvinists teach is that God's already picked out those that are going to go to heaven and those that are going to go to hell. So why would you spend any time in evangelism? Because those that are going to get saved are going to get saved regardless of what you do. And those that are going to be lost and go to hell are going to be lost and go to hell regardless of what you do. So just sit back and let God work his will. I'll just tell you tonight, God has predestinated everybody to go to heaven. And people go to hell not because God wants them to, but because they choose to go themselves. A person that goes to hell walks over everything that God has put in our way in order to get us to heaven. They step over the cross, they step over the blood of the Savior, they step over the gospel, they step over the Bible, they step over the church, they step over every Sunday school teacher, every preacher, every Christian that has said a word to them about Jesus Christ. And they step over all of that and go to hell by their own choosing. So God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked because that was not his will, his plan for their life. His will, his plan was that everybody go to heaven. So we come back to Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, why is it precious? Why this morning when Bev took her last breath and went to heaven, why was that precious in the sight of God? And I've reminded myself of these four reasons all day today. You that have been here for a while, if you have a good memory, I preached this sermon before. But again, I'm not preaching it for you tonight. I'm preaching it for myself. And so, again, just bear with me. It's precious. The death of the saints is precious in the sight of God because, number one, death is the last dark valley that God has to see his children go through. Psalm 23 talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And I will remind you tonight that God loves us. God cares for us. When we hurt, he hurts. When we cry, he cries. When we ache, he aches. We are his children. And our God, our Father, does not like to see his children hurt. Everybody that's a parent, everybody that's a grandparent, can understand what I'm saying. As a parent, I would do anything to keep my children from getting hurt. I would, in all cases, I would have rather taken the hurt for them than see them hurt. And it's just magnified itself more in Aaron. I don't know, you that are grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. You love your kids, but you know, when your grandkids come along, you know, they can do what they want. And I feel the same way about him. If I could, I would take every one of his hurts and bear it myself. Both the physical hurts, the emotional hurts, everything that would hurt him. And our God is the same way. He would take our hurts for us. You say, preacher, why doesn't he? He's God. Why couldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Why doesn't he? Well, the same reason a parent understands and sometimes has to step back and let their children hurt. Because there's a reason. There's a purpose. There's something greater being accomplished. But God knows that our life is full of trouble. He says in Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Our life is short and is packed with trouble. We live only a little while, and yet our life is filled with sorrow. And I think our Heavenly Father says, I'll be glad when this is all over. I'll be glad when my children don't hurt anymore. I'll be glad when they don't have to endure trouble anymore. That's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. You know, when the little baby is born, we go to the hospital and we rejoice with mom and dad. We hold the little baby. But when you stop and think of it, their whole life is before them. Again, that life that's full of hurt and that life is full of pain, that life that's full of trials and sorrows. But I want to remind you tonight, all of Bev's troubles are over. All of her pain is no more. All of her heartaches are past. That's why Solomon said, better is the day of death than the day of birth. That's why God said, precious in my sight is the death of my saints. They don't have to hurt anymore. They don't have to cry anymore. No more sorrows. No more troubles. No more heartaches. There's a second reason why the death of his saints are precious in the sight of the Lord. Death is the first time that God has our complete attention. God made us for himself. He tells us to look unto him, to call unto him, to praise him. He says and instructs us and commands us to love him. He said, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. But as long as we're in this world, we're distracted. As long as we're in this body, God has a hard time getting our full attention. Did you ever have somebody in your life that you wanted their full attention and you were trying to talk to them about something and you just knew that you didn't have their full attention? You know, you see these cartoons and, you know, where the husband and wife is sitting at the breakfast table and the husband's got the paper up in front of his face and the wife's sitting across to him, across from him, talking to him about something, and she's talking and he's saying, mm-hmm. And she's talking, he's saying, uh-huh. And she's talking, he's saying, yep, that's right. And of course, the point of those cartoons is as he has no idea what she's saying. He's just agreeing. I've often thought that would be the time for the wife to say, honey, I'm going to spend $200,000 and go on a little trip. Mm-hmm, that's okay. but we know how it is. There are times in our life when we want the full attention of somebody, and even though we try, we don't get it because they're distracted by different things. And I think that sometimes that's how God feels. He wants our full attention. He wants all our love. He doesn't want us to be distracted by the things of the world. And when we go to heaven, he has it all. No more lust of the flesh, no more lust of the eyes, no more pride of life. We join others around the throne. And now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. And he has our full attention. And we know how much he loves us. You see, you may say, well, I know how much God loves me. I want to tell you something, you have no idea. You have no idea. But when we get to heaven, and he gets our full attention, and that veil is ripped away, and we get to see him face to face, we'll know. We'll know. So the death of his saints is precious to God because, number one, all their trouble is over. Number two, he gets our full attention. And number three, he gets to show us what he has prepared for us. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. When I visited with Larry and Bev in the hospital yesterday morning, we got to talking about heaven for a little bit, and I sort of quoted this verse for Bev. I said, you know, we think we know all about heaven, and we talk about the street of gold, and we talk about the mansions, and we talk about, you know, the no more pain, no more tears, no more separation. But I said, we have no idea. Paul said, he wrote in the book of Corinthians, he said, I knew a man, I don't know if he was in the body, out of the body, but he got to go up to heaven. And he saw things that were unlawful. What he was saying is, there ain't words to describe it. I can't describe it. I saw it. I saw the wonder of heaven. I saw the love of God as it was poured out there in that place that he's prepared for us. But words don't exist for me to be able to describe it to you. And I told Bev, I said, you know, we think we know all about heaven. We ain't seen nothing yet. We have not seen anything yet. And again, I mentioned it Sunday. When we get to heaven, I think we're going to spend months and months and months and months just walking around and saying, wow. Wow. So good. So good. I think I've told you about my mom before. She's a Christmas fanatic. She buys all this stuff early, and then she can't wait for us to open it. And so long about Halloween, Thanksgiving, she'll find an occasion and say, well, you can go ahead and open that one. And then she'll say, you can go ahead and open that one. And Christmas comes, there's not much left because she can't wait for us to see what she's purchased for Christmas. That's the way God is. He can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. And so the death of his saints is precious because he doesn't have to wait anymore. We get there, and he gets to show us. And then number four, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, in that oftentimes death is used to bring others to Jesus. Someone we love dies. Someone we're close to dies. It reminds us that death comes to all. That death is close. David said, it's just a step. It's just a step between me and death. And when somebody we love dies, it gets us to thinking, what if it was me? What if I died? Am I ready? Am I ready to go, and am I ready to meet God? What will happen? And as is often the case, as we've seen in this place, time after time, funeral after funeral, when we meet and we talk about the person that's gone, we open the Bible and we look at all the scriptures that God has put in this book to comfort us in times like that, and then we present the gospel time after time after time after time after time, somebody gets saved. Somebody comes to know Jesus as their Savior. That's why Bev was so insistent on, and when we first started talking about it years ago, she said, I don't want nothing. I don't want a funeral. I don't want a viewing. I don't want anything. And over the years, as we've talked about it, she finally came to the conclusion. She said, now look, I know what I told you before, but I want you to have a memorial service. And I want you to not talk about me, but I want you to talk about Jesus. And I want you to tell people how to get saved. And if my passing, if my going to heaven means that one person gets saved, and then I'll rejoice. And the Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven over one soul that comes to Jesus Christ. Again, I quote that verse on Sunday. What does it value a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One soul, one soul is more important than all this world has put together. One soul, soul that of Terry and Becky's little granddaughter, got saved on the bus going home. More valuable than all this world has to offer. Terry had to go get gas. I think I mentioned this Sunday night. Terry had to go get gas for the bus Sunday night because he didn't know after he dropped the kids off, he didn't know if he had enough to get them home. And I gave him the credit card that we used to buy stuff for the church, and he said, "Let me put $100 in," and then it cut off. And so with that $100, we have probably invested $4,300 in total, with the bus, the insurance, the license plate, and that half a tank of gas we bought for $100. But 10 people have been saved, either on the bus or when the folks have gone out bus calling. 10 precious souls. 10 folks that were headed for hell that are now going to heaven. And God says, just one of them, just one of them is worth more than the whole world, than the whole world put together. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because he knows for his children all the trouble that they have is over. He knows for the first time that he has their complete attention. He gets to show them all the things that he has prepared for those. And the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And he gets to show them. And then, as is often the case, other people come to know Jesus as their Savior. It's been a sad day for all of us. crush us in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I told Larry, it won't be long. We'll all be together again. You know, there's a, you know, I'm done. There's a guy, I don't even know his name. I haven't read any of the stuff he's put out, but Adam has told me about it, and I saw something online today. He's predicting that the rapture is going to happen the 21st of May, just a few more days. Now, the Bible says nobody knows. The way I read it, Brother Harry, not even Jesus. Only the Father. He said only the Father. And one of these days, the Father's going to say to the angels, go ahead, blow the trumpet, sound the word, come up hither. Then we that know Jesus Christ as our Savior are going to leave this world. Now, I'll just put a little doctrinal position in here. I think that's going to happen before the tribulation. It's going to happen before the tribulation. So we're going to be out of this world before the 7 years of trouble start. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's going to happen on the 21st of May. But I am going to tell you it could happen any time. It could happen before we say amen and leave this place. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen the next day. There ain't nothing else that needs to be done for Jesus to come back and get his own. And it ain't going to be long. We'll all be together again. But until we are, we need to be busy, and we need to be telling people about Jesus, and we need to be sharing the gospel, and we need to be getting as many people saved and ready for heaven as we can. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.